Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hey guys, this is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Now, this episode of No Borders, No Race is a very special one, but I didn't want to interrupt the ebb and flow of it. So, right now, before we actually begin, let us do our Nihongo Yayoko. Sa, hajimaru yo! Zenkai no episode de wa, Rolling Stone Magazine の最新のトップ500アルバムのリストのついての考えを共有しました。Beastie Boys, Pixies, Kanye West, さらにはStooges からの多くの素晴らしい作品がリストの上位に乗りました。Marvin Gaye の What's Going On がリストのトップになり、プリンスのパパレインがマイクル・ジャクソンのスレラーを当然ながら上回りました。しかし、ロッキー・エリクソン、アレス・クーパー、クイーンズ・ザ・ストーン・エイジなどへの言及はなく、まだまだ鼻で足揺らっているような態度の見えます。また、私が述べたように、コーポレーションアルバムはトップアルバムですに数えるべきではありません。不正解です。ライブアルバムも同様です。そして次回はそこに日本のレコードを載せましょうよ。また、Netflix の新しいアニメ Great Pretender についての考えも共有しました。それは人生、興奮、そして非常にスマートなスクリプトに溢れています。サウンドトラックは私がアニメで何年も聴いた中で最高のものの一つでもあります。ぜひチェックしてください。My thanks again to my teacher, Mikio Hattori-sensei. Remember, if you'd like to know more information on her cultural exchange initiative, be sure to visit their website at ceinitiative.org. They're working on a lot of great things right now, specifically stuff that involves summer 2021. And now, folks, let's start this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Drop the bomb!
Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Bastards and wenches, welcome to episode 256 of No Borders, No Race, your J-pop and alternative hotspot. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And folks, joining me right now is a fellow J-pop DJ in arms whose radio show airs on over a dozen countries with a signal that doesn't seem to stop expanding. Right now, he's adding a new title to his impressive resume, Film Festival Founder, with the Japan Indies Film Festival, which takes place online on November 16th and 17th on the Rain Dance Film Festival site. I'm very happy to welcome to No Borders, No Race, Mr. Mike Rogers. How are you doing today, Mike?
Thank you, Evan. Thanks for having me here. I'm honored to be on your show. I mean, I've heard a lot about your show and actually listened to it before. Yeah, this is really cool. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So before we get talking about the Japan Indies Film Festival, or JIF for short, as you're someone like me that hosts a show that promotes Japanese musicians, I want to know, how were you bit by the Japanese music bug? Was there a band that made you want to pay close attention to Japan's music scene?
Oh, well, actually, I'm half Japanese. My mom is Japanese.
Really?
So I was brought up in a Japanese environment all my life, but in San Diego and in California. So even when I was a little boy, and I'm talking about like the early 60s, 63, 64, I thought Japan was so cool. Then Japanese animation started coming to the United States, Giant Robo, Kimba the White Lion, and whatever. And I thought,
Gigantor, Speed Racer.
Yeah, I like Gigantor and all those cartoons, but I really hated like Speed Racer and White Lion. I thought, God, these are so lame. But anyway, all this time, you know, then, you know, anime started getting kind of cool and things started getting kind of cool. But Japanese rock music just never happened. And it was, I think, 1980. I was in Little Tokyo, and I went to a bookstore, and they had like 7-inch singles. And I bought a single there by Sandy and the Sunsets, and it's called Battery. Have you ever heard of it?
I don't think I've heard of that one.
Well, okay, I'll send it to you. At that time, I was working as an assistant to Rodney Bingenheimer at K-Rock, and I took the record home, and I listened to it, and I said, this is really cool. And I brought the show to Rodney, and he played it on his radio show like once. And I thought, gee, you know, more bands like this have to happen in Japan, because even in the 80s, there was no punk boom in Japan, like in the 70s.
Right. That didn't come until like the late 80s with the Blue Hearts.
Yeah. And Laughing Nose, Blue Hearts. Anyway, all through the 80s, all of the Japanese singers and pop singers, even singers who people thought were these bands are really cool, they were kind of just your pop idol type of artists. And even Sandy and the Sunset was that way.
Which isn't bad. Like, I do like a lot of the pop idol stuff over there in Japan, even though, like, I still prefer the punk and rock aspect. I still like some of the idol stuff.
Yeah. So, Laughing Nose came, High Lows, and bands like that, and then there was a boom in punk, but it was all guys, all guy bands. And then, but I've always liked girl bands. And
yes, we've had that discussion in the past. That's why I love the girl punk and the girl rock bands. It's just amazing. Like in Japan, like it's normalized that women can do rock and roll. So whereas here in the Western world, like when an all girl band comes around, it's like, a girl band? What? They're all girls in there?
Really?
It is? Yeah, it's not still not really normalized here. Like there'll be like a girl that fronts a rock band but with all guys, but like bands with just all girls, like Slater Kinney or the Breeders, like they don't get the same love or respect over here.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I never realized that. Yeah, there's so many girl bands in Japan and it's just accepted. And there are people like me who think girl bands are cool. Guy bands are, well, kind of, you know, some of them are cool. But anyway, I don't remember what the question was. So so that's how I got into Japanese rock music. And then I'd been a DJ for a long time. I'd been playing a lot of indies, UK, USA rock. And nobody in Japan plays that stuff. So when the Japanese rock started becoming cool, what I thought was cool, I started integrating that into my playlist. And more and more and more Japanese bands are so cool. And like you said, Sushi Mamire, Otoboke Beaver, bands like that.
Yeah.
They came along. And I started playing those. And now, because FM radio, like for example, do you know in Tokyo, there's 38 million people living here, but there's only 5 FM stations.
I think I actually read about that. Like, I did some research about, like, Japanese radio, and I did find that it's interesting that, like, here in Boston, we've got, like, two to three, four, 5 dozen like radio stations, both on AM and FM. So I found it shocking that Japan has as many as you can count on one hand, Tokyo specifically.
So, and they all play the same thing. They're all top 40 stations, all of them.
And that's what just happened here in Boston, too. That's dozens of radio stations, but it's all top 40.
Yeah, so I've been playing indies UK, USA bands for a long time and then started integrating indies Japanese bands. And basically, I'm the only one on... I was the only one on FM radio for... Well, no, I still am. I'm still on FM radio. What am I talking about? For a long time, that plays Japanese indies. And recently, I was featured in Asahi newspaper. This guy, this American guy, is playing Japanese indies. Like, what the hell is this kind of thing? So, it's really cool. So, that's how I got started into it.
That's awesome. And you're doing a lot of great work, Mike. You know, you've introduced me to a lot of really great bands that I've gone and showcased here on No Borders, No Race. And I'm always happy when I see other people opening, like, my eyes. And then I can help open the eyes of other listeners to the great sounds that Japan has to offer.
Well, I don't mind. You know, Evan, I want these bands to become big, too. So, like, I consider you an ally, and a very important ally. And you've got a big following, so... Anything you want, just tell me. I'll send it to you.
I will keep that in mind. So before we dive into our discussion about the Japan Indie Film Festival, we're going to start off our playlist. And I'm sure these are songs that Mike here will approve of, for the most part. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find all of their music on CD Japan, Amazon, Yes Asia, Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. We're going to start the show live and loud with the Pinballs, and this song serves as the opening to the new Dogakoda anime series, Ikebukuro Westgate Park. This is Needle Knot.
Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life, and hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ithinkthisisgreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think Jerry Business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
With Homecoming from 2018's Explosion album, one of the bands that my guest here, Mike Rogers, opened my eyes to. And now, I guess my first official question to you is, what inspired you to start your own film festival?
In 2015, I got really sick. I almost died. And I was in the hospital for 3 weeks or so. And all my life I've been doing radio and TV. Radio and TV is fine, but when the show's over, it's over. It's gone. There's no library. It's not kept. People can't listen to it. So I thought, I've been wasting my life. So when I was a university student, I studied cinematography. And actually, I won awards as a student. So I thought, I got to make a movie before I die. So, okay, what do I got? I know all these bands. I know all these clubs. And so I'm going to make a rock and roll movie. which is a bad choice because rock and roll don't sell. But anyway, so I made this rock and roll movie, and then I started shopping it around to film festivals. And I got into Rain Dance, which was like a miracle. And I asked a lot of Japanese film festivals, you know, will you accept my film? And they told me, oh, no, we don't accept film submissions from directors. You have to be invited. And then I started checking into it, and I realized Japanese film festivals are not on the world circuit because they're not really film festivals. Whatever the word festival means, but they're not competitions amongst indie filmmakers. They're competitions amongst friends of the producers of the festival, you know, who to put in their movies, and then they choose a winner.
Right. It's just a bunch of elbow rubbing, basically.
Yeah. So I thought, gee, so I should make my own film festival. So I got together with some people, and I talked to Rain Dance and convinced them to support us. And so I ran the Atami Film Festival for 2 years. First year was really good. We had 1,800 people show up at our opening ceremony, which is like a record. Yeah, that's a record for Japan. But what happened was, and this is a very long story, so I'll make it short. The Japanese started kind of fighting with each other for control. And control meant a lot of money from the government, power over the film festival, and use of Rain Dance's name. So last year, I got sick of it, and I fired everyone. Well, not fired, just you guys are gone. I'm going to do this next film festival by myself, and I don't need your help. I mean, really, thank you, but I just can't handle this stress and fighting and stuff all the time. So I propped up the Japan Indies Film Festival. I talked to Elliot Grove at Rain Dance and asked him if he would help me. And Elliot's a great guy, and he said yes. So I propped up the film festival, and I made a calculation on costs and everything. And I rented a theater for 2 nights almost a year ago, maybe a year ago, yeah, for 2 nights. I paid them in full. Mm-hmm. And then I was about to rent a third theater for a big opening ceremony and stuff right when Corona started. This was like in March or something like that. And I held off on renting the third theater. And then, as you know, Corona has messed up everything.
Of course. Yeah. Believe me. Like,
yeah. So the Corona thing, I just kept watching it and thinking like, gee, am I going to be able to have a film festival? Then one day I get a mail from the movie theater and they say, you can have your film festival, but you can only have 12 people in the theater at once. And that includes two, you and your staff. So 10 people in the 10 people in the. Are you kidding me?
That's just a private screening, not a film festival.
Yeah. And so then they also told me, yeah, also, you have to check the temperature of everyone who comes into the theater. And if any of them get sick and they sue us in court, you are responsible for it. And
oh, God.
Yes. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? So and then I started calculating. OK, so let's say I charge $10 for a ticket. 10 people come in, that's $100. The movie theater costs like $550 to rent. So I just thought, that's insane. But also taking responsibility if someone gets sick, that's really insane. All this time, though, I had been negotiating with the Tokyo Chamber of Commerce to help me pay for stuff, help me pay for the program and the banners, and just, you know, they'll pay for like half, just soften the payment, you know. So I had to tell them everything that was going on, and they said, we recommend that you do the film festival online. So I started checking online, and there's actually no real way online. At the time, I thought no real way online that I could show, like, Evan, like, I want to show your movie online, but I cannot protect your intellectual property. Somebody can copy it. Whether you use Zoom or you use Skype or you use whatever, Twitter, there's no way to protect it.
Yeah.
So I kind of gave up, got depressed, drank a lot for like a week. And then I talked to Elliot about it. And Elliot at Rain Dance told me they have a online site, and it's the big site, the famous site that can use South by Southwest, all these big festivals use. And he said, you can use our site. And I was like, great, that's great. I'm so happy. And he introduced me to a guy who was going to help me, you know, just arrange all the online things. That guy quit after it was like 10 days later, he quit. I was just like, what's going on? Oh no, this is bad. But anyways, I got another guy in. He's made it, and our site is up. I hope you can put it up where your readers can see it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There will be a link for our listeners to click on the main post of this podcast show.
So I was thinking at the movie theater, you know, I don't know if you've seen this. The Japanese baseball is having baseball games, but there's nobody in the bleachers.
Same here. We're having football games here in America. No one's in the bleachers. They're putting in all like the crowd sounds in there with an audience of nobody.
That's weird.
It is. God. It's jarring. It's
like a movie or something. But anyway, so I there was a moment when I thought like, okay, I'm going to have the movies at the theater and I'm not going to let anyone come in. No customers. That way I show their movies. No one can steal the movies and no one can get sick, but it's kind of stupid, you know? So I talked to Elliot and decided that after all this crap that I've been going through and everyone else has been going through the same crap, I'm going to let everyone see the movies for free. And so that's why it's free now.
Right.
I'm actually glad because, you know, we're a little film festival, indies films, and 1,000 people aren't going to sign up, I don't think. Yeah. And so, you know, if you want to leave a tip, the $5 tip, that's fine. You don't have to. But I just want to give back to some people and thank Elliot and thank Rain Dance and just thank everyone, you know, the filmmakers and everybody who has supported and stuck by me through this really terrible time.
But what's now great about this festival now is that instead of it just being, you know, taking place in Japan, anyone from around the world can now watch these movies from the website. So how important was it for you and the filmmakers that their works be showcased worldwide?
Well, at first, I had asked the guys in Rain Dance, you know, can these films be seen worldwide? And they were like, yeah. So some films, maybe two or three films, they're only can be seen in the United States or in, all the films can be seen in Japan, mm-hmm. but some films can be only seen in Japan and the United States. One film can only be seen in Japan and in European countries. But basically all the films can be seen all over the world. This leads to a bit of a problem for subtitling. I think there's two films that only have Japanese subtitles.
Right.
And no English subtitles. But there's 24 or 25 films anyway. So the films that don't have subtitles, one is a feature, and that's a world premiere mm-hmm. by a pretty famous director. And another one is a short film. So I don't think it's that important. Yeah,
short films are important. They'll help blossom directors to make bigger feature length films in the future.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty proud of our short films. We've got horror, what do you call it? Suspense, all sorts of films.
Yeah, even are showcasing an anime one too.
Yeah, that's right.
So right now, we're going to take a couple of music breaks, but we'll be back with more with Mike Rogers and the Japan Indies Film Festival. But first, The Killers have unleashed one of the best albums of 2020 with Imploding the Mirage, a record that truly is the most uplifting thing you'll hear all year. From that album is Dying Breed.
Strong and steady. Well, baby, you found it. Well, whether the cold is- Do you remember the old school video games you grew up with? Curious about gaming history that's all but forgotten? Do you just like the sound of my voice? Hey, David here, and I host and produce the show ArcCast, which is short for Another Retro Gaming Podcast. Come join me every week for fun discussions with a variety of guests and friends within the gaming industry discussing the retro titles we all love. We also tackle retro gaming related news, play the game show Random Select, and do game giveaways. So give us a listen at retrozap.com/ArcCast or on any major podcast platform like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and more. Thanks for listening and keep it retro.
Sushi Mami Ray with Road of Girl. Sushi Mami Ray will be unleashing a new EP on November 11th entitled Lucky, with an album cover that's giving me some Go Nagai vibes. I wonder who's the one that drew that. Spy Air are back with a brand new song that is currently serving as the end theme to Haikyuu to the Top. This is One Day.
確かなことはいつかわかる時が来るから、間違ったっていいさ、今思いを止めないで、現実が飛んじゃうような夢が欲しかったのに、辻褄を合わすだけの日々は味気ない、何も怖くない。
Pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
What you going to do? There
Lusta Parati with Radio from 2018's excellent Black Parade album. While the group has been on hiatus, frontman Jerky69 has been keeping busy with his main band, the 69 Eyes, who are playing live gigs in their Finnish home turf. I guess things are a little bit safer in Finland right now. And we're back here with Mike Rogers talking about the Japan Indies Film Festival. So, how did you decide on which films you wanted to be featured at the first ever JIF?
Oh, that's difficult. Actually, I have a team. Let me tell you, this film festivals have to be totally fair and on the up and up. No nepotism, none of that. Right. So I have a team of select committee team of three people, and then there's me. And these three people don't know each other, and they're assigned certain movies. Like, you know, you watch movie submission number 1 to 200. That's a lot of films, man. So they'll watch it and they'll score it, and then the next person will score, and then the system is really easy to use. It will calculate the scores for you and tell you what the top scores were. So that's, we pick the top scoring films for that, and then it goes to the film festival where the jury, the judges, choose the films. So this eliminates what I was just mentioning about how Japanese film festivals are really nepotism.
Right, a lot of bias stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the boss will pick his friends to submit movies and then choose one of those. So in our system, and this is the system that Rain Dance uses, there's a selection committee and no one knows who these people are. I mean, I know, of course.
Right.
We pick the films and then send them to the judges, and then the judges choose which one they want to win. Also, we don't have a, what do you call it, conversation commission where the judges sit around and decide which movie is the best. And the reason why we don't do that is at the first Atami Film Festival, there was a woman who was a judge, and she insisted to all the other jury, how many jury members were there? There was 6 or 7, I don't remember. Insisted that because women have been, what do you call it?
Oppressed.
Yeah, oppressed, that they had to pick this film directed by a woman. And the guys all, like, agreed to that. And look, I'm not saying any, all I'm saying is that is a form of sexism.
It is. You know, it is. You pick the film that was the absolute best. You don't pick the film because of the person who directs it.
So I was actually mad because I was head of the committee that picked the movies. I liked the film, and I don't mind that they chose that film. But the reason why, I did not like that at all.
Yeah.
And I was there at the meeting when she was browbeating these guys into accepting that movie. This movie was okay. It wasn't bad. But there was a movie from Russia, and it was an indies movie, and this guy must have spent about $2 million, and it was super high-quality movie. I mean, it was just head and shoulders above. And even Elliot and Suzanne saw it, and they said, this movie is by far the best film. And I said, yeah, do you know but which film won? And they were like, no. And I said, yeah, well, the one directed by a woman. And I can't even tell you the name of the movie now, come to think of it. But, yeah, it's a reverse kind of race of sexism or whatever it is. I just don't like that.
Right. We want more representation of people of different genders, of course, with, like, creating stuff. But we want to award the best movie to the best movie itself. Not
That's
for
right.
biased reasons. Not for, oh, because this person directed it, they deserve the best movie. No. Because this had the best script, this had the best acting, this had the best plot line. That's why you choose that as the best picture, not because of whoever is in the director's chair.
Yeah, that's you said it better than I can say it. So I was actually very disappointed. I was disappointed in the judges that they would be, what do you call, browbeat into accepting something like that. Mm-hmm. And these were professional guys. And I was just like, what's wrong with you guys? You know, just tell her no. But anyway, so that happened. So this time it's very fair. The judges don't know the selection committee. The selection committee, of course, knows the judges, but the judges have already seen most of the movies, and I will get their scores back on the 30th, and then I'll know which films won. And then I have to make the trophies and, you know, little plaque thing, you know, to Evan Borgelt. You know.
Right. So you are showcasing, like you said, over 24 films. I believe there's 15 shorts and 8 feature films. And you said one of the films is a world premiere. Is that the only world premiere, or are there others that are going to be making its premiere at Jeff?
Okay, so let me brag. So the first two film festivals that I ran, I mean, I'm a jury member at Raindance. I'm a judge. I've been a judge there for 4 years. But the first two film festivals I ran, like I said, we're not doing it the Japanese way. So I would make my selection committee, don't tell anyone who's in the selection committee, and then we would choose movies. So we chose a movie in 2018 called One Shot of the Dead. Have you ever heard of it?
One Shot of the Dead. No, I've never heard of that one.
Okay, it was a zombie movie, and nobody wanted to play that movie. Everybody hated it, except for our selection team, because we actually sat down and watched it, you know?
Right.
The people, they didn't want to play it, blah, blah. They gave me shit all the time, and I was like, no, this is, we're gonna play it. There's a reason. And anyway, that movie has now had ticket sales in Japan of $200 million. It was one of the most successful movies of the year that year, and it's really good for me because I can brag.
Right. You can be like, take that, fellas.
Yeah, I told you guys. And then the last year, a film called Kanemasa, Hitokuzu Kanemasa, which means like human garbage. And it's about a guy who has a really rough life and meets a 5-year-old girl. And anyway, I showed that movie. And that movie is now roadshow in Japan and was bought by a major studio. So that's 2 years in a row. I had these films that really made it. And Hitokuzu Kanemasa has won awards at international film festivals like Milan and Best Film. So many awards. And people are giving me shit for that. Oh, and there's one more. There's another one called Dream Manipulator. And everybody wanted to cancel that show. You know, the selection team doesn't talk to management, so we just decide stuff, Send things to management. Management wanted to cancel that show, and I said, no, you can't. I already wrote to the director, said it was accepted, and she just won an award at the film festival in Scotland. Like, I forget the name, but she just won the award for best film, and it's a comic book. It's a film based on a comic book. So the acting is over the top and everything. And they were like, this is just terrible. It's like, no, it's a comic book. What are you guys talking about?
Right. Like, look at Fly Me to the Saitama. Like, that movie is basically a comic book in live action form. And it just won all the big friggin' Oscar awards in Japan.
Yeah. So she just won this award. And she wrote to me that she knows about all the problems and told me so much. Like, thank you, Mike, so much. Thanks for supporting me. And she says that she's gotten an offer from a big movie company to release that movie commercially in Japan next year.
That's terrific.
So I have a reputation now for picking these movies that everybody thinks this is just trash, but they've become big. So this movie that we're world premiering is called News Coin Locker. But this will only be for you folks who want to study Japanese or learn Japanese, because there's no English subtitles on this, because they couldn't be ready by then.
Right.
So I said, well, no, I'll take it anyway. And he said, so this will be a world premiere. This is the guy who made Hitokuzu Kanemasa. And Hitokuzu Kanemasa is still doing roadshow in Japan now.
Wow.
So he's shown at so many theaters now. And it makes me feel good, actually. It's like, I told you guys. I told you.
Yeah. So besides that movie, what are you personally excited to showcase at Jeff?
There's a movie called Homesick that is about a – I don't want to tell you too much about it. It's called Homesick. It's about a father who goes back to Fukushima. Mm-hmm. I can't. Anyways, it's so heavy.
Yeah.
Actually, just thinking about it makes me want to cry.
I'm looking at you right now, man. I was like, what? You like took like a big pause right there. I was like, wow, how big of a movie is this? Like,
so it's just so heavy, and then you watch it, and halfway through the film, you realize what the hell's going on, and then it's just like, holy shit. And yeah. The enormity of the situation, what happened in Fukushima, just hit you. And man, I just cried and cried and cried when I saw that movie.
Mm.
I'm a softy, Evan, you know.
We all have our soft spots, don't worry.
I cried at, you know, Dumbo. Jumbo puts his trunk through the thing in his mouth.
That baby, my, don't you cry. That scene, of course.
Yeah, so anyway, so Homesick is a really, really good movie. I highly recommend that. There's a film called Make My Mark, which is in Japanese and English, and it's about a musician. I guess you might relate to this. A musician who comes to Japan. He becomes really famous and has, relations with a lot of women, and he becomes super famous, and they all sue him in court for...
It's sounding less and less relatable as you talk more about it.
But it's comedy. It's pretty funny. There's another movie called Ton Kakaton, and that's just about an uncle who's dying of cancer and his relationship with his nephew. Another movie called Motherhood, which I think is really good.
I read about that. So the premise of this movie was like, it starts sounding like a comedy. And then as you read more about it, it's like, oh God, it's almost like a survival horror sort of a thing.
Yeah, it will really make you understand one slice of the way life is in Japan.
Mm.
Because I guess in the... early up till the early 80s, they forced women who were considered mentally ill to have abortions.
Mm.
So it's just like, whoa.
Yeah. Anyways, very heavy.
Very heavy movie. Lots of heavy movies. Mm. And a couple of funny ones.
We're going to take a couple more music breaks, but we'll be back with Mike Rogers and the Japan Indies Film Festival. But right now, here are the kings of Japanese heavy metal, Electric Eel Shock, with a cut from their 2017 album, Sweet Generation. This is Chocolate Bomb.
Chicka-boom, chicka-boom, you're so rude. Passion, freedom, knowledge. The Abstract Japan Podcast at abstractjapan.com.
Saranto Ite from their compilation release Okoshiyasu Otoboki Beaver. Although it's still not really safe to perform with an audience, Otoboki Beaver has been doing a nice alternative online shows for whoever wants to tune in. Though it does seem like that they are going to try a couple of live gigs this November. So fingers crossed that they'll be able to do that safely in Japan. Fred Abung has returned with a brand new album entitled Our Mother of Perpetual Help, which hits stores on November 20th. This is a sneak peek of what's to come in the form of The Minute.
Thank you. beer, funnel cake, boysenberry. There's no food like theme park food. Eat the Magic is a YouTube series about theme park food in Southern California and maybe Florida. Eat the Magic is hosted by a childless millennial of real repute, Jared the Greek. Karens want him, Chaz wants to be him, no bothers given. Tune into our show Eat the Magic on YouTube. See our Thirst for Dole Whip on Instagram at Eat the Magic. We'll see you real soon at the parks. Why? Because we like you.
Secret Letters from his 2002 album, Roentgen,
Recently, Hyde has taken on the role as producer for the new single from K-pop singer Kim Jae-jung, with their song Breaking Dawn acting as the opening theme to this season's Nobelese. And we're back with Mike Rogers talking about the Japan Indies Film Festival. So, you've got some Boston representation via director Daniel Sullivan's documentary Miyamoto and the Machine. Now, what drew you into this documentary about the creator of the Ken Ken puzzle?
Oh, you know, when I first started watching it, I thought, maybe this is boring. But actually, two other judges watched it, too, and they were raving about it. This is a fantastic movie. And I was like, really? Okay, you know, if I knew what 17-year-olds like, I'd be really, really rich. But I don't. So these people were raving about this movie. And I said, okay, well, you guys have scored it high enough that it gets accepted. So let's accept that. And it's just really an interesting story about how Can-Can happened. And I didn't even know what Can-Can was, okay? Sorry.
Yeah, I've seen, like, Can-Can before. Like, I thought it was just, like another kind of Sudoku. But, like, watching the trailer for this film, like, made me open up my eyes. I was like, this is, like, one of the ultimate brain teasers, like, trying to solve something like a Can-Can puzzle.
Yeah, well, see, I'm the kind of person who hates puzzles. I just get pissed off really quick. But I haven't come from a family of people who like puzzles. My son likes puzzles. My older brother was really good at it. I let my son watch it, and he said that was a good movie. So my son's 16 years old. Anyways, most of my movies are, everything's family friendly. There's no sex.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get in trouble with the government.
True.
There's one last film I want to mention is, it's called One in Two, or Two in One. Wait a minute. Was
One in Two People.
Yeah, One in Two People. Man, that's a scary movie.
And it's only 7 minutes long.
Yeah, it's like, I watched it, and when you get to the end, you're just like, what is this guy who wrote this film? What the hell? It's so weird. So I think it might be a teaser to make a longer movie.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. But yeah, that's a very heavy movie.
You are also showing off your Ghost Roads movie too. Like,
yeah, that's a throwaway, because if you look on the webpage, I gotta explain this to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's 25 boxes.
Yes.
And on the bottom right, there's nothing there. And the reason being on the bottom right is that will be the opening and closing ceremonies and the award ceremonies video.
Gotcha.
So I was calculating how to do this and stuff, and I screwed it up. So I thought, oh God, I've got two open spots. What am I going to do? And I can show Ghost Roads. Don't have to ask anyone. Don't have to get clearance. And just, it's blocked in Japan, though. Ghost Roads is blocked in Japan.
Oh, that's weird.
And in Canada, too.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So I really hope everybody tunes in. It's free. You don't cost anything. I hate Netflix. God, I hate Netflix. And actually, I've never really watched Netflix. But, you know, I want everyone to get back to the movie theater and watching movies the way they're supposed to be watched.
Yeah.
I don't think watching movies on your smartphone is good.
Oh, no, no. Like, I only do that if I'm, like, traveling and such. But, like, yeah. I always prefer the big screens, be it,
yeah.
like, yes, I do like watching movies on my television, but I do like having the ability to walk down the street to the Brattle Theater and watch a movie on the big screen.
Yep, absolutely. That's what I want to have happen. Maybe next year. I'm not sure.
Yeah, knock on wood, dude. I'm hoping. So maybe my final question is, what do you hope viewers of the Japan Indie Film Festival will take away from the event?
Well, actually, from what I found, researched and found out, this will be the first online film festival that's free. Everyone else is charging money, and some of them charge a lot of money, actually.
Yeah.
But I also heard from other people that some of the other film festivals that have used this system didn't get a lot of people to sign up. And I think I'm thinking that the reason why people didn't sign up is because it's too expensive for what's called a festival pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like $40 or $50 to watch all the movies. But $40 or $50, isn't that a lot? Doesn't it cost like $12 to go to the theater near your house?
Yeah, so like, actually, the last two movies that I saw before this whole COVID thing happened were actually the Oscar-nominated animated and live-action shorts. And a ticket for each of those events was just $12.
So I've been to a lot of film festivals. I've been to Rain Dance. And let me say this. Movie directors who get selected at these film festivals, I think a lot of them do not understand a basic thing. The film festival rents the film theater, sets up your film to be screened, and screens it. They pay for all that stuff. The advertising and getting the people into the theater to watch the movies is the director's job. So I went to Rain Dance, and I've been to like Sochi and several other big film festivals. I'm in a theater with like 200 seats there, and there's four people. So it makes sense to me that if people aren't promoting and getting people to come to their theater during a real film festival, why should anyone pay $50 for a festival pass to sit at home and watch movies in what I actually think is not a optimum way? So they're not going to do it, I don't think.
Right.
That was one of the reasons why I wanted to make it free. So I think it's just practically smart to make the film festival for free. And I'm hoping that if I can get 500 or 1,000 people to watch our movies, that'll be probably the largest online film festival in history of, you know, for this year or something. It's going to take a few years. But so that's what I want. And I want everyone, spread the word, show your friends. Like I said, it's free. Just come watch one movie. If you don't like it, then, you know, watch another one. But the films are all really good.
Mike, thank you so much for joining me here on No Borders, No Race. For more information on the Japan Indies Film Festival, where can our listeners check out, like, everything that they can find on it?
Go to raindance.jp. Raindance.jp is our webpage.
All right. Of course, for our other listeners who are interested in hearing your radio show, where's the best place for them to check that out, too?
Gee, you know, that's a hard question. Oh, I guess if you want to just listen to the radio show and see what's it all about, the best way is to go to Mixcloud. And Mike Rogers Show. Mike Rogers Show, that's all one word. Mike Rogers Show. And then you can find the shows there. Then I'm on in 18 countries and 54 radio stations. So if you're more interested in that, then you can go to my webpage, which is www.mikerogersshow.com. And it lists most of the stations. Are there? There's so many stations. I don't even know.
It's all right, man. It's all right. Mike, thank you once again for joining me here on No Borders, No Race. Best of luck with the Japan Indies Film Festival. I'm looking forward to watching some of these movies. It sounds great. And a lot of the films that you're going to be showcasing sound like something that hopefully will be maybe a future roadshow hit in Japan.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Got my fingers crossed. Thanks, Evan. Thanks so much.
Up next, we have Miyavi, whose latest album, Holy Nights, shines as one of his best works yet. From that album is Bang. Dreaming of a world. I can hear the future calling me. Only a believer gets to see. Nani mo kamo. We'll be right back.
It's the Mike Rogers Show coming to you live from Tokyo, Japan. A year-end special. And I'll be with my good friend, Evan Borgald. And you can tune into the Mike Rogers Show. We play Japanese music, Japanese pop, Japanese... and you can win a bazillion dollars on this show. I don't know how you can, but maybe, you know, if you listen to the show, maybe you can somehow, maybe buy a raffle ticket or something. The Mike Rogers Show. Yes! Tune in! We're going to have our year-end top five countdown. It's going to be way cool, and you can hear more good songs just like this.
Renditions of that Alice Cooper classic. That was GWAR with Schools Out, a bonus ditty from their Beyond Hell album, probably my all-time favorite GWAR record. Although Odorous is now in the big coke brick in the sky, or down below, you can never know because it's fucking Odorous, GWAR continues onward and strongly with their violent, chaotic, and often funny live shows. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos from the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com, like us on facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade, and follow us on b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can follow me, Your King Baby Duck, on Twitter, the J-pop, video games, anime, amino pages, Instagram, and Twitch at King Baby Duck ESH. Don't forget to give some love to our friends at Black Compat, which you can find at blackcompat.com, twitch.tv/blackcompat, and youtube.com/blackcompat. Promotional consideration provided for this week's track from Fredabong, made possible by Shameless Promotion PR. And a very special thank you to Beauty and Chaos for their contribution to Shameless Tuesdays. My thanks once again to Mike Rogers for coming on down to today's episode to talk about the Japan Indies Film Festival. If you want more information on the event, please visit bit.ly/30L5Z1Y. It is happening on November 16th and 17th, and remember, it's free, so do your best to support this great online festival. We're ending the show with the latest single from Ore-sama, and this serves as the end theme to the other Dogakoba anime airing this season, and the better Dogakoba anime, Sleepy Princess in the Demon Castle. A very, very hilarious anime. This is Gimme! And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. This is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.